From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made 50 years ago today, September 6, 1966, when WXXI TV 21 launched its first broadcast. That broadcast was Julia Child's The French Chef. Harold Hacker introduced the program, telling viewers that they were about to witness something Rochester had never seen or heard before, educational broadcasting on Channel 21, and he promised that WXXI would always provide that kind of programming option for the community. So what did that first broadcast sound like? Maybe you remember.
This is a French chocolate mousse, mousseline au chocolat, one of the most delicious desserts you can imagine. We're making it today on The French Chef. Welcome to The French Chef. I'm Julia Child. Today we're making one of the loveliest kinds of French desserts. I don't say that it's a no-cal dessert, because it's made with egg yolks and cream and butter and beaten egg whites. But it's a light and lovely one. That's why it's called a mousseline. Mousse means foamy, and mousseline means even more light and foamy.
As Julia Child, she is, when you go back and watch, I mean, and when you listen to that voice, she almost sounds like a caricature, but she was obviously the real deal, so beloved across this country and in her, I would say, native France, what felt like native France to her. We were so glad to have that in 1966. And in celebration of our 50th anniversary, WXXI-TV is going to air that exact same program, a bit of a nostalgia for us. We're going to air that tonight. In fact, we're doing a lot here. We're also presenting an archival episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, followed by two programs celebrating the 1960s, one called Eye on the 60s and Rock Rewind 1965-1967. This hour, a discussion of the legacy of WXXI. We'll tell you about other events as well. The Little Theater's doing it. We've got an open house coming up this month. And we want to take a look at what the local broadcast landscape was like 50 years ago, because as I said, you know, we opened with that promise from Harold Hacker to deliver educational broadcasting for this community. And I think even though it's a much more crowded field today, it's more important than ever that we're still here. And I want to welcome our guests. And I am thrilled to have two of the, well, they're humble enough to say, I don't know if they were the founding members, but they were among the founding members. Nancy Brush is going to get that title. It's great to have her, who is not only a founding member, but a former member of the board of directors and former director of community development for WXXI. She's got great stories. It's great to have you here, Nancy.
Thank you, Evan.
Also, here's Justin Vigdor, who gets that title as well. Humble enough to say, I'm not sure I was a founding member. Close enough, Justin. It's great to have you. Thank you for being here.
I'm very happy to be here.
And John Andrus is here, my colleague, who is often on the other side of the glass, engineering the broadcast at times. He's a Classical 91.5 announcer and producer. And John has some stories about 50 years ago and what he was doing at the time that I think a lot of people will enjoy. Do you remember it like it was maybe yesterday or last month, John?
Almost yesterday, and it's great to be on this side of the glass, Evan.
Yes, nice to see you here. You're going to be hearing from Don Elhart later this hour, of course, longtime 13 Wham news anchor who just celebrated 50 years of his own. If you've got any stories or anything you want to share about WXXI, you can do that. You can call the program toll-free this hour, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Nancy, if you weren't the first member among those opening handfuls, I want to know in 1966, 1967, you know, in those mid to late 60s when WXXI came on the scene, why did it catch your attention? Why did you want to be a part of it?
Well, I think it was the educational aspect. I've always been interested in education. I trained as a teacher, although I didn't teach. And I was president of the Webster School Board at one time, and I had children in the schools. And I thought educational television would have such a wonderful reach to people who maybe didn't have access to the best education, and we could bring it right to them in their homes. And I was just excited about the whole educational aspect.
You heard Julia Child. Doesn't it sound really remarkable to hear that voice?
Oh, it does. It does. I have her cookbook, but I'll tell you, it's not an easy one.
No, it's tough. In fact, we're going to be talking later this month to her, to MFK Fisher's grandnephew, who got to know a lot of the people in that scene. And Julia Child was very much dedicated to making sure people could learn. I mean, it was this educational aspect that WXXI-TV brought. But she did not make it easy. So yeah. If you want to check it out yourself tonight at 8 p.m., I think it's 8 p.m. Let me get this sheet here. John Andrus, occasionally you're going to have to help me out here to make sure. I think it's 8 p.m. tonight that you can watch The French Chef, that original episode. Then at 8:30, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, a drawing contest, how people make crayons. I love it. 9 o'clock, Eye on the 60s tonight, the iconic photography of Roland Sherman. That's at 9 o'clock. And then 10:30, Rock Rewind, 1965 to 1967. Also tonight at the Little Theater, celebrating Julia Child and her contributions to public television, we've got the film Julie and Julia. That's at 6 p.m. Great films, Julie and Julia at 6 p.m., followed by the 1966 classic, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's at 9 p.m. in Theater One. The Little Cafe is also going to be celebrating music of the 60s with local Beatles cover band 8 days a week. They're going to play from 6 to 9 in the Little Cafe tonight, and they'll have prizes awarded for guests who come to the Little tonight dressed in your best 60s garb. Though what's wrong with 60s garb, John Andrus? Everything old is new again. You know, even fashion comes back around.
I probably have some of that from my teenagers right here at East High School in Rochester, New York.
The only decade that may not ever come back is the 80s. But so, of course, the 60s are coming. We're talking vinyl next hour. I mean,
That's everything, right.
Is coming back. So, Justin Vigdor, for you, what drew you into WXXI in those early days?
Well, there was so much discussion in the community about getting the rights to the to a channel. And Harold Hacker was very active with a group that was really working hard to get some time for educational TV with that Raida and the people involved. And to me, it was an extraordinarily exciting and important thing to do. It seemed to me that, well, of course, I had very young children at the time, and there basically was no adequate television for them at that time. My children were at that time really young. And it was an opportunity to get some programming, educational programming in the community and some cultural programming in the community. My recollection is that, and again, my recollections are very hazy. I told you that before, Evan. 50 years tends to erase memories pretty well. But my recollection is that there were only three commercial channels at the time. And I think, if I remember correctly, WXXI really went to a UHF channel initially. But then eventually, I believe, they arranged with Channel 13 to share time on that channel. Not so, John,
you're shaking your head. You want to jump in there a little bit? Yeah.
Well, Raita, which was started with Harold Hacker and many others, produced several TV shows for the commercial stations.
Hold on, John. Back it up. Raita, R-A-E-T-A, is?
Rochester Area Educational Television Association.
Okay.
And that became the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council in 89. So originally, Raita produced educational programs for the commercial stations and later on with Channel 13. Now, Channel 13 came on in 1962, September. WXXI-TV had put a bid in for them, but was not awarded that. So eventually, when WXXI-TV Channel 21 came about, the FCC had granted them a license. And let me think, back in those days, VHF channels were 2 through 13, and you had to have a special receiver, which was a big deal with TV manufacturers in the time. In fact, Newton Minow, who used to be FCC chairman at that time, because there was a show just recently on WXXI-TV about him, lobbied the TV manufacturers to have that UHF dial, which went from basically channel 14 through 83. So you'd have to kind of maneuver it to focus in on channel 21.
And you'd have to get your rabbit ears on your set to, to bring in a signal, and the signal was frequently not very good. But it was a wonderful addition to the community and really priceless.
John Andrus, you were doing something a little different at the time. What was happening in 1966 for you?
Well, I was just beginning my junior year, 11th grade, at East High School, and East High School was in their second building. The original WXXI-TV was in the first East High School on Alexander Street, moved over in 1959 to the new facility, and back in 1966, September, I was just starting my junior year and able to work in the TV studio, which also had a PA system. And one of the people who I worked with happened to be Bill Pierce, who just came in from Long Island, WLIW-TV, which happened to be also, ready for this, a Channel 21 also. And Bill was a coordinator of the programs for the Rochester City School District. We would pre-record them and run them through industrial arts programs, other such programs, home economics, and perhaps even in coordination with Harold Hacker and the producer of a lot of the programs of Ray Ita at the time. All right. So I was working as a cameraman with Bill Pierce.
Did you even have any inkling of your future in broadcasting and how it would weave into WXXI?
I had no inkling at the time. But there's a story about Bill Haley, who used to be the WXXI TV program director, who came from WROC-TV. He worked there from 57 to about 66. He moved over from commercial broadcasting to public broadcasting, and I recall talking to him one day when I was 17, and I didn't get in the door of Alexander Street, happened to see him on the front step, and I applied for a job. I wanted to be a booth announcer, and he said, well, John, I don't think we're going in that direction. So I came up quickly with, how about a cameraman? But he said, well, put in your application. But it never happened, but it was kind of an interesting serenade there, so to speak.
I remember Bill Haley, too, and speaking about looking for jobs, my employment at WXI started in a strange way because I had been on the board for several years, and I left town for a few years, and I came back, and I wanted a job. So I looked in the newspaper, and at that time, WXXI was advertising for someone called Director of Community Development. Well, I had not the slightest idea what that meant, but I was sure I could do it. So I called Bill Pierce, and I said, I'm back. And he said, well, why don't you come for lunch? And I did, and I started work the next week. So I was in the right place at the right time, and I've been grateful to Bill for giving me that job.
I should say so. Right place, right time, right person. And when was that?
That was in the late 70s, I'd say. Yeah.
And do you want to tell the audience what you figured out Director of Community Development meant?
Well, I soon discovered I was supposed to do the underwriting support, which meant that I went around town and I solicited underwriting, which was program support, basically. But you remember how restricted it was then.
Yeah.
We couldn't really advertise. Advertising was a bad word.
Anything was deemed advertising except your name, really, at the time.
That's right, yeah. We could give your firm's name.
That's and, about
And nothing else. Yeah. But I think the underwriters appreciated the fact that WXXI was doing such a wonderful community service. And we had rather, I won't say an elite audience, but we had a very good audience. And so they knew that their name was going out into the community in the right way.
Nancy, when you say elite audience, I know, as you say, good audience, a strong audience, and that is not intended to be exclusionary in any way. I think what you mean is just really devoted people, devoted to the community, devoted to making our community stronger. When did you first realize the WXXI broadcasting? You know, again, we go back 50 years to TV, and of course radio comes in a decade later, but when did you first realize the asset WXXI was to this community?
Well, I really think it was when I went to work here. I had loved it. I had been a volunteer. I was a board member. I learned a lot on the board. But I didn't get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I became a member of the staff and got involved and realized how dedicated the people here were. And we had such wonderful volunteers. And our members were, and well, as you know, 50-year members. Not then, but some of them have been.
Yeah.
And there was just such a community dedication to WXXI, and I felt that it was an unusual place to be, and a family feeling. And so I loved it and just couldn't have had a better job.
I have to say, to Nancy's point there, in preparation for this day, celebrating 50 years, there are people in this building who work with members today, a lot of wonderful people, and they've been hearing from members, some of the original members. And it is remarkable to read some of the words. Have you seen any of those, John? Have you gotten your hands? You should see them. It's really remarkable to hear what people say about why they not only decided to become a member, but why they have never really left membership. I mean, Justin, was there something for you that said that this is, you know, not just, hey, Julia Child, that's fun, it's educational, but this is becoming a force for education?
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. Not only education, but the entire cultural life of the community, civic affairs and public affairs. It was a refreshing change from commercial television, which was really rather bland and very uninteresting. For years and years and years, I woke up to Simon Ponton.
Oh, I did too.
Every morning it would go on, and Simon Ponton would be there with his bird calls.
But beware, let our listeners who don't know the story know where you were finding Simon.
Well, he was on the classical station, on the FM station, which was the only classical station in the city at the time, and really still is, except if you can get Toronto, I guess you can get their classical station. But Simon Ponton would come on early in the morning, and he would start with bird calls. And that was wake-up time. Yeah.
And we still do that today.
Yeah, right.
We
do.
Say.
And sitting across from me is a person who does it also.
Simon left the recording with us, and Brenda uses it Monday through Friday, and I'm privileged to have it on Sunday morning at 6.
Right.
That's one of the great traditions. You
it
see
is.
How there are certain things that change, certain things stay the same. Now, the broadcast landscape has changed a lot, but I will say, and I'll ask Nancy this. I mean, if I ask John, this would be too much of a Homer question. You know, he works with us. But do you feel now, 50 years later, that this is more important than ever, given how much competition, how much noise there is, sometimes how much coarseness there is, and I don't want to be a Puritan, but I'm trying to be, I think, as blunt as I can be about the civic responsibility here.
I think you're absolutely right, and you're right about the coarseness and the bluntness and the lack of dignity that we hear today. I think WXXI is far more important, and especially programs like yours, like the Diane Rehm Show in the morning, some of the call-in shows. We get a diversity. And right now, if you want, when you turn into radio especially, you're going to hear a very biased voice on most stations. And here we give you both sides. We try to. And I think in this day and age, we're more important than ever. I agree with you.
Justin, how do you feel?
I couldn't agree more. The commercial stations, there's just so much noise there. And so many ads, just constant ads. You're barraged with ads. Some of them, unfortunately, from lawyers.
We have any lawyer friends listening? No offense.
Well, that's all right. I love lawyers. I've been in the profession now for over 60 years, and I love them. But those ads get they get offensive, and the car dealers and everything else. Constant barrage, and WXXI is so refreshing in comparison.
My father has been an attorney in Cleveland for many years. I remember one of the first times I was aware of public broadcasting, he was participating in a drive to help.
Mm-hmm.
And he did tell me, you know, he said, as an attorney, people are going to make fun of your dad sometimes. We've earned that, but I can put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So no offense at all. I've always thought that the you talk about community development, the underwriting, the way the community voice comes in here is so unobtrusive, and yet it's such a great way to get your voice into the community, your name into the community. So I got to be careful not to turn this into 60 minutes of a pitch for underwriting. But the bottom line is we're proud of that. I'm actually very proud of that. I know Nancy feels the same way. Before I get back to your phone calls, because I see the phone ringing again, let me just ask Nancy and John and Justin. I know you all have incredible stories over these 50 years. You know, Nancy, you said there are a few that stand out to you, so let me just ask you about a couple. The elevator. Can you tell what's the elevator?
Oh, I can tell you the elevator.
What's the elevator?
When we built the addition on this station, it must have been in the early 80s, I guess. Obviously, we needed money to do it. So We called a number of major donors, and we said, you know, if you will come in and help us, we'll put your name on this room or we'll do something like that. And we had a wonderful donor, and particularly a radio listener, named Andy Hale. He was just the fan of WXXI and particularly of public radio. And he used to come over to the station occasionally, but he could not go upstairs because he had lost a leg and he couldn't climb the stairs. Mm-hmm. So when we were building the new build, the addition, I realized we have an elevator. Ha ha. I know who I'm going to call. So I called Andy Hale for lunch and I laid out the plans and I said, Andy, here's an elevator. You and other people who can't climb stairs can now get up to public radio. So he immediately agreed to fund the elevator. And I wanted to put a plaque on the outside that said thanks to Andy Hale or something. He said, no. He said, I don't want that. And I said, but Andy, we have to recognize you in some way. So he said, okay, on the inside, you put a little plaque and it will say, get a lift from Andy.
What a perfect way to say it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And Justin, for you, what any stories stand out over the years?
Well, just so many. I was, as a practical matter, I rarely listened to anything except AM and FM, WXXI. But it's all there, you know. You've got an Albany correspondent there. We get great news on state proceedings from that. I don't know of any of the commercial stations that provide Albany news, except maybe fragments here and there that they pick up from the wire services. Mm-hmm. We have very interesting programs all day long with the things that are built into your schedule. The morning programs, the afternoon, of course, after Diane Reams, and then all day until you get to the afternoon. And those are such interesting programs. I've forgotten who it was that said that sometimes you are listening in the car and you just don't want to get out of the car. You sit in the parking lot. Mm-hmm.
I heard that, too, and yeah. I think it's true.
I know it's true.
They're called driveway moments.
Those driveway moments are what we're after, right, John Andrews?
That's correct. We want to hear them both on AM and FM, too.
Right, and many times I will sit in the parking lot and just wait to hear the end of that segment because that's so interesting.
Well, you know, the other thing about radio and those moments is when you're driving, when you're out of town, out of the state, you can use public radio everywhere you go. I used to do a lot of driving from here to Boston, and I'll tell you, it was my companion. And we had, at one time when I was here, we had a little brochure that listed all the public radio stations in the country, and we called it Your Radio Road Companion. Now, I don't know whatever happened to that.
Well, I carry it with me all over, Nancy. And when I travel, every city that I'm in, I go to that road companion and pick out the public radio stations.
And we still have it today,
and
too.
And you still have it.
And, you know, you spoke about Karen DeWitt, our Albany correspondent.
Right.
Not only does she appear on radio, but she's on WXXI TV as well.
Mm-hmm.
On, I believe it's a Sunday evening, different times about New York State politics, based in Albany, New York. And it's a service that we provide here, not only for TV viewers, but for radio viewers, too.
Right.
May I tell one quick story?
You certainly can.
You know, we're so involved in the Jazz Festival right now on all platforms here, WXXI-TV and our companion radio stations. But way back in 1970, as I recall, I was told by John Bell, who was our chief engineer at the time, that they were doing a live program with Chuck Mangione and Bat and Don Potter and Bat McGrath and others. And it was over at the Eastman Theater, and about 15 minutes before the broadcast started, their equipment failed. And for some reason, they banged on a table, and it all started to work again. So, and you know those Malox moments here, especially when you do a live show.
Was that the Friends? That wasn't the Friends in Love concert.
Yes, it was.
It was the Friends in Love concert.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
That's
amazing. That goes back to hitting, you know, banging on the TV to make the picture get clear.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Which kids today will have no understanding of. But that was like, in fact, let me just ask a quick question before I go to your phone calls. A listener named Allison wrote in to say she is much younger than the age to have been alive in 1966. But she said, thanks for being here. And she wanted to know how many people had TVs in 1966 to watch WXXI TV. It's a good question. I don't know the answer offhand. Do you recall common it was?
I'm not sure, but I saw my first television program in Rochester in about 1952, and it was a little tiny black and white screen, tiny little thing. You had to get up close to it. But by 66, we had a bigger screen, and I think it was not uncommon. It probably wasn't. Everyone didn't have it, but it was not that uncommon.
Okay, John?
I think by 1966, going along with what Nancy has said, most TV sets had that UHF little attachment to it.
Yep.
So I think most of the United States people own TV sets, even more than one. And most here in Rochester, New York, could pick up WXXI-TV because of that attachment. And thank you, Newton Minow from the FCC.
Is it the double dial? See, I recall growing up, there was that inner dial and the outer dial, the shorter, the smaller dial with the fewer clicks, and then the outer dial had a lot more channels. Is that right?
Yeah,
correct.
Talking.
Okay,
absolutely right.
See, Allison, I'm a little older than you probably, but slightly younger than our guest this hour as we talk about 50 years ago today. WXXI, yes, Justin, go ahead.
If I may just throw something in, John mentioned the support for the Jazz Festival.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but getting in a commercial for the Fringe Festival.
Oh, yes.
Which I happen to chair, and which is starting on the 15th of September, as you know. And WXXI has been extremely supportive from its inception.
They are indeed. Yeah. Evan, too. He's had many people
yes,
on.
Yes, Evan has had some of our people on.
Of the Fringe Festival, of the Jazz Festival. And I have to think, you know, you look around and, you know, I recall Nancy Brush saying that, you know, you had that title, Director of Community Development. But that's sort of what WXXI's entire mission is, community development.
It is.
And that is not just a slogan. It is not sort of just a throwaway tagline. That's a real mission. I mean, I think I really believe, having myself come from the commercial world, and again, we're going to hear from Don Elhart. They're wonderful people in the commercial broadcast world. But I just feel that that is not a throwaway tagline, that's been the mission from the beginning.
You're right, it is.
It has always been very involved in social issues, questions of racism, questions of the handicapped and the disabled. You have a whole series now which is designed for that. And it's been responsive to the community's needs in every way.
Yeah. John, go ahead.
Well, along with our partnerships, we also reach out to commercial ventures with our Voice of the Voter that has started over the last 20 years. But even back in the day when WXXI-TV started, there were also liaisons with our WXXI-TV auction. We had people from commercial broadcasting on that. Plus, we also covered a lot of election news as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, Wednesday night, Voice of the Voter, another Voice of the Voter debate. We carry on that great tradition, and you can watch on WXXI-TV Wednesday night. I'll be moderating a debate between Assembly candidates Harry Bronson, the incumbent, and Rachel Barnhart, challenging him. So that is a tradition that didn't start 50 years ago, but in the last 50 years, so much has changed, but I think what we're finding is a lot has stayed the same when it comes to the mission. Let's get our only break. We'll come back to your phone calls and some of your comments as well as we celebrate our 50th anniversary, WXXI-TV. TV 50 years ago today, September 6, 1966, launched as Harold Hacker introduced Julia Child's The French Chef. And if you missed it earlier, we're going to be re-airing that broadcast. You can see it tonight on WXXI-TV. That'll be a lot of fun. That's at 8 p.m., and then it's sort of Nostalgia Row after that. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood at 8:30, Eye on the 60s at 9 o'clock. Rock Rewind 1965 to 1967 at 10:30. You might notice that our colleagues on Classical 91.5 have been commemorating the occasion. Scott Regan, our colleague at RUR, commemorating the occasion with music from 1966. And at the Little Theater, of course, tonight, Julie and Julia at 6 p.m., the film about Julia Child and the woman who tried to cook every recipe in a year from Julia Child's very difficult but really detailed cookbooks, followed by the 1966 classic film The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's at 9 p.m. in Theater One. The Little Cafe will have music from the 60s with a local Beatles cover band, and we'll be giving out prizes to guests who come to the Little tonight dressed in their 60s best. One quick note, John Andrews?
Yes, we can't forget Maureen Rich tonight at 6 o'clock on our companion
Thank
station
you,
now airing us 88.5 WRUR-FM with Road to Joy and music from 1966. I can't wait to hear what she's going to play.
See, that's why you're here, John, picking me up here. John Andrus is here. He's a Classical 91.5 announcer and producer and someone I think who's history with WXXI goes back just about to the very beginning when John was just a young man at East High School. And of course, we've got Justin Vigdor, a founding member of WXXI, and Nancy Brush, not only a founding member, but a former director of community development. Our only break of the hour, and your phone calls are next. Coming up in our second hour, sales and music down. Sales for CDs down. Artists making generally less money down, 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 except in one category, vinyl. Vinyl is having a resurgence. What's behind it? We will explore that and we'll get your take. Are you listening to vinyl again? Join us next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. 50 years for WXXI that started with WXXI TV in 1966. And the WXXI broadcast division has grown, of course. And now we've got our partnership with WEOS, Finger Lakes Public Radio, 89.5 FM. That's where Ed in Geneva, I suspect, is listening. Hi, Ed. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's interesting because I moved up to Rochester in, 1972-74. And when I came up here, it was just XXI was like an oasis in the desert. It was just there was Doctor Who for my son, there was Mr. Rogers, there was Sesame Street. I mean, everything you wanted to watch, all the good movies were on XXI. And it was just amazing. I went to NCC and the University of Rochester, and the whole time it was just listening to XXI. I mean, that was the only thing we watched, me and my wife.
Ed, go ahead.
There's a legacy. It's a great legacy.
Well, we're thrilled that you think so, Ed. And I'm not only thrilled to hear from a listener talking about you going back to the early days, but talking about how there is an impact for everybody in a family. That's been the mission, again, from the beginning for WXXI-TV. It's not just aimed at one person or one segment of our population. It is a community-wide program. And so we're thrilled to hear that you've enjoyed it and appreciated it. And we hope that continues for you and your family today. Let me get down to Springwater. Dan in Springwater. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, Evan, thank you. This morning I was listening to Morning Edition, and I think I heard Beth say that Mr. Rogers is going to be on this evening. And it brought back happy memories and sad memories, because it goes back to, I think I loved it as much as the kids. We would all watch it together, and now they're all grown, and those days are gone. And it's a bittersweet story. I've been a member for a long time. And my second point is, I used to listen to Simon and Wake Up with the Birds also, but then was turned on to NPR and 88.5. And I have nothing against your show or at Diane Rings, but I'm a music fan.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm wondering what can be done to have an FM signal that reaches more people and bring the noon hour all lunch program back, music. I'm worried that it'll eventually, the talk radio will push out all the stuff that I know myself and my family also enjoys.
Well, Dan,
is there anything we could do to get another FM station and maybe sell off the AM station so that I can get the new one-hour lunch and live at Cafe on Friday?
Sure, and Dan, thank you so much for the phone call. I will say, there's no bigger Scott Regan fan than me, and I cannot sit here and predict the future, and if Norm and the rest of my superiors are listening, they're probably telling me, don't go there, because no one exactly knows. But Norm is one of the really forward-thinking people in this community. Everyone's aware that it's possible AM doesn't last forever. Well, nothing lasts forever. I mean, the sun will burn out eventually. But it's possible that AM doesn't last forever. And that who knows where the broadcast landscape is going. But we are very much, I think, thinking about those things, Dan. We are trying to make sure that we are on all the kinds of platforms that can be reached by as broad an audience as possible. And I think that's a very interesting part of the conversation. I mean, John Andrews, you can't break any news here. What do you think of what Dan said, though?
Call the powers to be and voice your opinion. Don't call us, call them.
No, but I think he makes a good point,
yeah,
though, in terms of, wanting to make sure that we're on as many broadcast platforms as possible.
Right.
And I hear you. I'm with you on the music side, too. So, Justin?
No, I have nothing to say about
that,
but somewhere along here, I wanted to get a word in for whatever the relationship is with the British Broadcasting. because some of the most wonderful shows over the years were coming from the British comic shows and the British news shows, and it's really been another great opportunity for listeners and viewers in this city.
Yeah, I agree. There are so many great partnerships over the years.
And Downton Abbey, of course, was a world-class winner and will be for a long, long time.
Well, I love those British programs, too, but I think we ought to really talk about WXXI's programming.
Yeah.
And I think it was back in the late 70s, early 80s, that we produced a program called Safe Haven. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? There was a refugee camp for World War II refugees established in Oswego, New York, in 1944, near the end of the war. And it was the only refugee camp in this country, and nobody heard about it. I grew up about 30 miles from Oswego, and I never knew it existed. So WXXI found out about it. We did a documentary called Safe Haven. Our producers went all over the country interviewing the people who had survived and who had been at that camp, and it became a wonderful PBS show, and we won a big award. Was it an Emmy? What did we win?
That's something I wish I had in front of me, Nancy.
it was a wonderful award, and it was a wonderful program. And we've done so much else. I love listening to Mike Lasser. I still do.
Mm-hmm. I never miss him.
Fascinating rhythm. I mean that's such fun. And Remember with Heart and Voice. I think we're still doing that on radio. That was Richard Gladwell. And that went all over the country, and Richard was well known. He was a wonderful personality. Yeah. So we've just brought Rochester and Rochester people and Rochester stories to the world, really.
John Andrews?
Yes, and Peter Dubois now taking the helm from Richard Gladwell. And I worked with Richard for many years. He used to follow me on Sunday morning, and just a terrific broadcaster. He's probably employee number 63 over all these years at the Public Broadcasting Center. But I want to focus on what Nancy was saying, too. It's all about local productions and locally owned, and decisions that are made here, not someplace else. And that really is what it's all about. And think of all the documentaries. You mentioned one that I had not remembered.
Documentary filmmaking.
But also they did one on the Rochester subway system. Right. They did one on the homes. They've done so many programs. Just recently.
On the garment industry.
The garment. I was just thinking of that.
Absolutely.
That was excellent. And you could go on and on and on about all of these connections. And that only is happening here.
Yeah, and Second Opinion has received national recognition.
Terrific.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. But if you want to go way back, how about Homework Hotline?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people listening today as children may be tuned into Homework Hotline.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's have
now
Homework
on a lot
Hotline,
of stations, too.
Have Homework Hotline to credit for some of the success that they had, we think.
Yeah.
Just another one of the many legacies. Let me grab Sandy in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi. Hello, everyone. First of all, I have to say, I can't count the number of driveway moments I've had. But the story I have to tell really is a little bit after the founding, but I think it speaks to what an innovative station XXI was and is. I was one of the founders of Portable Channel, which is the community video facility. And it was dedicated to the idea that people should be able to produce television, not simply be passive consumers of it. And, you know, some of the other key people there were Bonnie Klein, the famous filmmaker, Judy DeSisti, who subsequently went on to WXXI. And this was the era before cable, and there was no public access. And so WXXI gave us airtime. And for a period of 2 to 3 years, we produced a television series called Homemade TV, really exploring the medium of television with a range of topics. Things, for example, I produced a documentary about making news, about how local TV news was made. Or on another program, we brought in Stan and Woody Vasilka, who were famous video artists, who were then at the University of Buffalo, and we plugged their synthesizers into the studio equipment, and we produced one of the more psychedelic programs I think ever seen on public TV. So it was a very interesting time.
Well, Sandy, thank you for that phone call. And homemade TV, right?
Homemade TV.
Homemade TV in the 1970s. You get a sense for the impact. But again, how different it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and now today. What I want to do is I want to thank Justin Vigdor for having a chance to come in. And Justin's one of our founding members who has got to scoot out because I know you've got a busy day. So just some brief final words before you're out the door, Justin.
Frankly, I'm delighted to be here. I'm not sure why, of all the wonderful people who are working on this thing, I was selected to be here.
Because you've been here since just about the beginning, and that matters.
Well, I'm still here, which is more important. Nancy and I were talking about that earlier. But 50 years seem to go by in a flash, and it's wonderful what has been done in that period of time.
Thank you for your support for 50 years, and thank you for coming in and joining the program today. And as Justin exits, let me welcome another guest who's joining us by phone. It's Don Elhart, who just celebrated in a very low-key way. Don, you probably didn't hear, but Don did 50 years himself. Don Elhart from 13 Wham TV is on the line with us. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, a lot of parallels here when I look back. Over the last 50 years, that is for sure.
Don,
say hi to Justin for me.
Oh, Don Elhart sends his hello,
great
Justin, as well.
To this community.
Don, for you look back 50 years ago, and we've been talking about WXXI TV 21 coming on the air and the broadcasting there. I mean, it's so different now, and that's just sort of stating the obvious. But what do you recall about what that TV landscape looked like in terms of trying to reach people, all the, I would say all the options, fewer options for viewing? What were your recollections of what was on the air 50 years ago?
I look back, and I probably recall that some of you have discussed, and I haven't heard all of the previous conversation, but I remember what we all refer to as RAIDA, the Rochester Area Educational Television Association. And it really was the forerunner of what became WXXI. And for those of us growing up in this community, this was the one little piece of educational television that was set aside for people. And the different stations, as I recall, the different commercial stations would take turns allocating time for this. So there might be an hour or an hour and a half program that in the early 60s, before the television station came, the different stations in town, and this would be, at that time, what is now Channel 8 and Channel 10, because 13 wasn't on the air until 62. So those stations, and then after 62, 13 included, would take time, allowing RAIDA at that time to be the one voice really for educational television. And so we kind of watched that evolve. And as I recall, I think before Channel 21, I think there was an effort to actually get Channel 13 to be what would become WXXI. There were a lot of applications in the works, so at that point, Channel 13 remained on the commercial side, and I think the folks that were, like Justin and others, urged to apply for that UHF station, which at that time was a little different. We weren't all that familiar with it. You needed that separate little antenna on top of the television to pick it up. So long before cable, it was a different landscape, really. But we kind of watched that evolve, and it was interesting when I look back to see the force that this has become in the community.
And on that note, Don, I think of where we are going. And I recall a conversation with now the general manager of 13 Wham, who was my news director, Chuck Samuels. And I mentioned earlier this hour, people like Norm at the head of WXXI, Chuck Samuels, I think are very forward thinking in that they understand habits change, that viewership habits change, that the ways to reach people change. But I feel like 10, 15 years ago, a lot of people were predicting newspapers will be all gone, that broadcast, there's too many options, there's 1,000 channels, people won't be watching local news, public broadcasting, who knows what's going to happen. I feel like we have at least weathered some of the disruption because what you do, and I think what WXXI does, are valued enough and understood enough that in that maelstrom, they have to be here. Communities have to be here. How do you feel about that?
I think there was that fear early on that we would, the local stations would become kind of lost in that landscape as it became. And what happened, I think, was really quite the opposite of that. We emerged because there was so much to choose from. And so many different options that all of a sudden the very familiar became the kind of the go-to source for people. So we have a lot more outlets for news. We have a lot more outlets for
children's programming and educational programming, but there is something kind of comforting, I think, about that, you know, the, what is familiar to people. And as people have grown up, that really hasn't changed all that much. The options have changed, the way to obtain that program or that signal has changed, but you know, the actual local feel of that, I think, is what kind of allowed us to emerge in a sense. I've always said, you know, people say, boy, you've lasted 50 years, and I think a major part of that is just the familiarity. You know, when people are looking around, and all of a sudden, there's that face. It gets, you know, gets a little older, the hair gets a little grayer, but it's someone that, well, you know, I trusted that person to bring me the news 5 years ago. I still do. And so in the educational landscape, you look at those programs, mm-hmm. you look at those people that are still, you know, still there and on the radio and television side, and you say, this is something that is very comforting to me.
And one more minute, Don, we'll let you go. I was mentioning that there's a Voice of the Voter debate this week on Wednesday night. We are certainly mm-hmm. proud of the partnership the WXXI, the Democrat and Chronicle, 13 WHAM TV have. I'm going to be getting in touch with your executive producer, Sean Carroll, and many of the people from your staff that I still know so well. And so in many ways, there is a lot of competition locally, and competition is a good thing. But I think there's also a lot of mutual respect, and I think leveraging some of our resources together. How do you see that push-pull between, you know, sort of competing, but also recognizing that the competitors are an important spot in the community?
I think that really is what has made this television market unique in so many ways, because there is what we call that friendly mm-hmm. competition. Obviously, we want to get the audiences and get as much of that audience as we can. But there is that spirit of cooperation, as you point out, particularly in this instance, where we're able to draw on the expertise of each other and recognize the strengths of each other and kind of pool together. And in the end, I think it's the community that wins when we do that. And I think that's the spirit that has allowed WXXI to grow in the proportions it has. And, you know, I go back to those days when I was the guest on the early auctions in the basement of East High School. When I look back, I say, you know, it really has come a long way.
Well, thank you, Don. Thanks for joining the program, and as we celebrate 50 years here.
All right. Thank you, Evan, for having me on.
Don Elhart from 13 WHAM TV joining us this hour by phone. And we got a couple minutes left here. I know that one of the founding members, Nancy Brush, the former director of community development, wanted to say a few words about the importance of volunteers, members. And I know you're still thinking about, after all these years, you're still thinking about plan giving and the people who want to keep us in their thoughts and legacies.
Well, that was a program that I started back in the 80s, and most TV stations did not have a plan giving program. Universities did a wonderful job with it, and hospitals at that time, but not many other nonprofits had gotten into it. So I thought, we have these wonderful, loyal members, and we're so exceptional, and I think people would be willing to think of leaving us a bequest or something like that. So we did start a plan giving program, and I heard Norm say just today that we have 250 people in our, what do we call it, estate planning, a legacy society mm-hmm. That used to be called the Alice Wood Wind Society. And Alice was a wonderful early supporter for WXXI as well. But those legacies and some of those bequests have made possible the rapid expansion that we've had in the last few years. So you never know when you sow a seed where it's going to go. And I've been delighted to realize that those little seeds that I sowed years ago have really taken root and made a difference for the community.
No question about it. Some final quick thoughts here. 30 seconds. John Anders, what do you want to leave the listeners with as we celebrate 50 years here?
Well, it was a remarkable start to WXXI-TV because in the 60s, the commercial stations were doing interesting programs for children like Skipper Sam or Bozo the Clown. Or we did have a cooking show, and that was an excellent one with Trudy McNall. But the first cooking show tonight elevated it to a national level. We had things like Chiller Theater and Weather Outside and Joe Dean Sock Hop. But now, with Channel 21 coming on the air, refreshing educational programming, uninterrupted and interesting programs as well. So it's great to be having memories of those occasions, and they continue today.
We're very proud of that. Some quick thoughts, about 20 seconds, Nancy. What do you want to leave the audience with?
Well, we were talking about cooperating with other stations, and I think that the size of Rochester helps that, too, because we know one another out in the community. Don Elhart and I were friends through the Rochester Rotary. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that cooperation...
He was calling from Rochester Rotary.
Oh, was that where he was?
He was.
Okay, well, anyway, I think the size of this community has something to do with the cooperative spirit.
Thank you so much. John Andrus, thank you for being here. I'll see you again on the other side of the glass.
Thank you.
And Nancy, you have created your own legacy here as we celebrate 50 years. And I just want to thank you for being a founding member and for being here and sharing your stories.
It's been a wonderful morning. Thank you.
All right. Well, listeners, 50 years for WXXI-TV today. Tonight, 8 o'clock, The French Chef. We're replaying that fabulous Julia Child episode that launched it all for us. Then Mr. Rogers, Eye on the 60s. It's great nostalgic programming tonight. The Little Theater showing Julie and Julia at 6 p.m. tonight. A Beatles cover band, all kinds of stuff. Enjoy it as we celebrate 50 years. More Connections next.